Take your Bible and go back, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. The Bible says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, we're going to talk tonight about the doctrine of the forgiveness of sin. Let me give you a review. Last week, we talked about the doctrine of the fall of man. And in our Bible study last week on the doctrine of the fall of man, we saw the commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve. We saw that there was an agent in the fall. We saw the deceptiveness of Satan himself. We saw the steps leading up to the fall. We studied the actual sin. We also studied how God pronounces a curse. We also saw the results of the fall and the solution of the fall. Now, take your Bible and go to Leviticus chapter 16, please. The book of Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 5. The book of Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And he shall take," it says, "of the congregation, the children of Israel, two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering." The Bible says in verse 7, "And he shall take," it says, "the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse 8, the Bible talks about Aaron, of course, Aaron being the high priest. "And Aaron shall cast lots," it says, "upon the two goats, one for the Lord and the other lot," it says, "for the scapegoat." Now, what they would do is the Israelites would bring these two goats in. And let me just give you a simple explanation of these verses through 10, verse 10. In the Old Testament, here's what you'll see, is during the month of October on the 10th day. On the 10th day of the month of October, two goats were taken, and one goat was killed. The other goat, if you will, was having that blood put upon it of the goat that was killed, and that goat was taken to the outside of that which was the gathering of the people, and he was sent away into the wilderness. Now, of course, the goat that was killed represents that which was the blood of Christ that was to be shed, and the goat that was sent away represent how the blood of Christ, with the blood, of course, sprinkled upon that goat that was going to be set free through the wilderness, how the blood of Christ takes away our sin. All right? And so you'll see what that illustrates. And so you'll also see this, that forgiveness in the Bible means this. It means to be sent away. It comes from two words, alpo, which means from, and it comes from haimi, which means to send. All right? And it means to send away. Forgiveness means this. It means to send away sin. That's what forgiveness means. All right? So when you forgive someone or when you are forgiven, it is to send away that sin. Forgiveness means to sin. Now think about this. Forgiveness also means to send away the hurt feelings. Forgiveness also means this, to send away the broken fellowship. Forgiveness also means this, to send away the offense. All right? So when you truly forgive someone, then you don't keep hurt feelings. When you truly forgive someone, you reconcile a broken fellowship. When you truly forgive someone, then you get over the offense. Forgiveness is, think about this, sending away completely. Now, what does that mean? That means this. It means to cancel or to reverse the actual cause of the hurt. That's what it's talking about. To send it away completely. It means to completely cancel it. That means this. That means I'm going to completely cancel your sin against me. That's what forgiveness is. I completely cancel your sin against me. You heard the song, "Gone, gone, gone, yes, my sins are gone." Well, we could change that. "Gone, gone, gone, yes, your sin against me is gone." Now, what is that? That is called forgiveness. Statement number four, you'll see that the lamb is another example of forgiveness, such as the Jews. What the Jew would do, the Jew brought a lamb to the altar. That lamb was slain, and that Jew would place his hands upon that lamb, confessing the sins, if you would please, that was put upon that lamb. And by the way, our sins is upon that which is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. All right. And so that's an understanding of forgiveness. Well, you can see it over Numbers chapter 21, verses 5 through 9. You can see it where it talks about how there was the fiery serpents that rose up and they were destroying the people. And Moses took that, which was a serpent, put him on a pole. And the Bible teaches that, of course, that being, if you will, symbolic of Christ and the people, all they had to do is look upon him and their sins were forgiven. All right, so let me give you some statements tonight about that which is forgiveness. I think that we don't understand the depth and the brevity of forgiveness. Somebody says, well, I forgave so-and-so, but I'm still hurt. You have not forgiven so-and-so. Somebody says, I've forgiven so-and-so, but I still have bitterness against them. You have not experienced true forgiveness the Bible way. All right? And we're going to talk about that tonight. The extent of God's forgiveness. How much does God really forgive? When God forgives a sinner, what does that mean? Well, it means this. It means that he pardons them completely. It means that he takes the sin problem and he settles it. Let me give you some illustrations. Illustration number one. The most terrible sin that has ever been committed was forgiven. Now, what is that? No greater crime in all the Bible was committed except for the one that was committed at the crucifixion of Christ. But yet, our Lord, in his prayer about the murderers, said this. Said in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, by the way, there's a good thought right there. Somebody sins against you. You know, maybe they sinned against you, but they didn't know what they were doing. Maybe they did not know how bad it really hurt. By the way, have you ever stuck your foot in your mouth? All right. Statement number two. God talks about the number of the times that God himself forgives us. And by the way, that is without limit. Aren't you glad about that? Peter came to the Lord. And he said, how much should I forgive my brother? And he said this. He said, 7 times 70. Now, what does that mean? Well, listen to it. Luke chapter 18 and verse 22 says until 7 times. But he says, listen to it now. He says until 70 times 7. Well, that equals 490. 490 times you ought to forgive somebody for the same offense. So when your husband comes home and he says something bad, don't get mad at him until you have forgiven him at least 490 times. When all of a sudden your wife shows up and she says something, don't get bitter at her until you at least forgiven her 490 times. Amen. All right. Now, think about this. He removes our sins as far from the east as from the west. Psalm 103 and verse 12, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath I removed our transgression. He hath removed our transgression from us. Well, the east from the west, they never meet in eternity. And so if that be true, then forgiveness ought to go on forever. Amen. Come on, we can get happy about this tonight. Because we are talking about the forgiveness that God has given you. But in the forgiveness, wrapped up in the forgiveness that God has given you and me, we also ought to be wrapped up in the forgiveness that we extend to others. That is being Christ-like, is it not? All right? Now, listen to it, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible talks about how our sins are taken away. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, and you know, the Bible says that he was manifested, it says, to take away our sins. The Bible says, and him is no sin. So he says, in him there is no sin, but he was made the way he was to take away our sin. Listen to it. God hath put, it says, away our sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26, the Bible says he appeared to put away, it says, away, it says, sin by the sacrifice of himself. So he came to take away our sin, though he had no sin of his own. He was buried for our sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4, the Bible says Christ died, it says, for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried. Listen to it. He takes our sin and he casts our sin behind his back. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17, the Bible says, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Well, when you cast somebody or something, or if you would please, those sins behind your back, then you're not seeing them. Good example, when somebody sins against you, forget about it and walk away. Amen. Don't let it haunt you. You know, isn't it amazing though? Here's what we do. Somebody sins against us, and because we don't forgive them, we don't sleep good at night. And while we're not sleeping good at night, they're having good dreams and they could care less. Amen. You see, God talks a lot about forgiveness because he wants us to understand the concept of being able to embrace it and to do it. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 22, the Bible says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud, it says, thy transgressions, and as a cloud, thy sins. So what does he do? He blots out our sins. He blots them completely. You can't see them. Listen to it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, it says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So what do you do if you have really forgiven somebody? You don't remember their sins. You don't let it haunt you. You don't let it bother you. By the way, this would help in relationships. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The Bible said he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's talking about how Christ was made sin for us. Think about it. John chapter 1 and verse 29, the Bible says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so what did he do? He bore our sin. Think about it. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, the Bible says, for Christ also, who hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that, watch it, he might bring us to God. All right? So he suffered the penalty for our sin. Now, what does this mean? This means this. That means that when we completely forgive someone, that we are not separating, if you would please, ourselves from them because of our memory. Because when God forgives, he forgets. And we are supposed to be, if you would, in the image of God. All right? Listen to it. The basis of forgiveness of sin. When one sins against us, here's what we must do. We must be the one that reconciles first. You say, well, they did wrong against me and they should apologize. The only problem with that is the Bible says, or listen to me, you ought to forgive them first. Now, if we're going to go to the Bible, let's do what the Bible says. So when somebody sins against you, you ought to be the first one to forgive. And by the way, let me tell you how that works. How that works is you have so much forgiveness in your heart. If you dig down deep and you have 20 years of forgiveness stored up, when your wife sins against you, you can forgive her immediately because forgiveness is already in store. If we would forgive people long before they ever committed a crime or an ill will against us, then we won't have problem forgiving them when the ill will comes. And the depth of our forgiveness is the depth of our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how come he said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You cannot forgive somebody that has been submersed in the love of God. You cannot offend them. Hello. I'm saying tonight, listen to it. The only basis of forgiveness for sin, as far as we're concerned with an almighty God, is through Jesus Christ, his shed blood. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says the blood of Christ, listen to it now, the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So when I confess my sins and he forgives my sin, it restores me back to him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, the Bible says if we confess, that's a conditional clause, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what I need to do, now by the way, he has enough forgiveness stored up. You don't have to worry about it. But when I go to him and I confess that sin, I'm making my heart right with his already right heart. And now I'm having fellowship all over again. Now, what should we do with our sins? Well, listen to it. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So there's the basic forgiveness of sin. What do? I go only to the one that has the power to forgive my sin. Now, wait a minute. I was raised as a Roman Catholic many, many years ago. For 18 years. For five of those 18 years, I was an altar boy. For five of the 18 years of my life, I went to a confessional booth. There was a man on the other side of the cover. And I would confess my sin to him. And he would tell me how many Hail Marys and how many Hail Marys and Holy Father or whatever. But tell me how many of those things to confess. And I get those B's and I confess. Now, wait a minute. Only problem with that, the Bible says that there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Nobody has the power to forgive sin, only Christ. So when I'm having problems with sin, I don't need to run to somebody else faster than I run to God. Because God is the one that can help me not only get my sin forgiven, but God is the one that can help me to forgive others' sins. I cannot begin to tell you how many bitter people I have met in my life. It is absolutely incredible. I'm talking about believers. I've met husbands that are bitter against their wives. I have met wives that are bitter against their husbands. I have met parents that are bitter against their children, children against their parents. But if we would simply understand, in every single fabric of a relationship, there is going to be problems. But what do? You learn to forgive. Well, my daddy is not the person that he ought to be. Well, first off, that ought never to come out of your mouth. Because if there is forgiveness there, then why is there a complaint? See, a complaint shows a lack of forgiveness. Well, my wife, she never cooks like her mother. Well, thank God you're not married to her mother. But that never should come out of the mouth. Because if there is a complaint, there's a heart connection. Amen. All right, now watch this. What is the result of being forgiven? Well, statement number one, and I'm done tonight. But statement number one, we should preach it to others. We should tell others about forgiveness. Look, there is something about being forgiven that gives absolute, total liberty. Think about it. Here we go. You ready? Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. The Bible says, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. All right, so what do? We go out and tell others how to be forgiven. That's what soul winning is all about. We go out and we tell others how to be forgiven. Statement number two, we should forgive one another. Be quick to forgive. Well, so-and-so gets on my nerves. Great. Forgive them. Well, you know, I tell you what, things are not going right in my relationship. Well, don't be tense about that. You be quick to forgive. Listen to it. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, the Bible says, and I read it at the beginning, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, listen to it. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35, the Bible says, so likewise, it says, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if, watch it now, if, there's a condition there, if ye from your hearts forgive not, listen to it, everyone his brother their trespasses. So God says that, look, he says, you will be close to me. Stay with it now. You will be close to me on the condition that you have forgiven others. You remember the, let's do it again. I want to do it again. All right, come over here if you will. Hurry, come, stand right here. All right, you ready? And you stand right here. And you stand right here. Mrs. Palmer, you come. Bring your son. And you stand right here. Watch this. Same scenario I gave you Sunday night, but I want you to see this when it comes to forgiveness. Now watch what takes place here. Come stand right here. All right, Sean, you come stand right here. Okay, now watch. There's only one person in your life that can answer prayer. Only one. There's only one person in your life that is the great physician. Only one, not two, one. There's only one person in your life that can make a difference and change a life. Only one, that's God. So God wants to change somebody's life. Now, how does he do that? He does that through his son. God does that through his son, Jesus Christ. All right? Now, the Bible talks about when the Father is in submission to that which is the Father. I'm talking about the earthly Father. I'm talking about dads that's in this room. When the dads are in submission to their head, which is Christ, who's also in submission to his head, which is God, then I said on Sunday night, there's harmony there. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. But if dad, all of a sudden, dad says, well, I tell you what, I don't, watch me now. He's the head, the Bible talks about, we talked about it, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that he's the head of the wife. And we talked about how the wife, of course, takes a command, turns it into law, and that's how we rear children. Now watch this, okay? But if dad is not right with God, dad gets bitter. He gets bitter. All right? Then there's a stoppage right here. There's a stop. You know why? Because, let me tell you why there's a stoppage. Because he can't hear from God. And if he's not hearing from God, then he cannot guide his wife. And if his wife is not being guided the right way, then neither will the child be. All right, now wait a minute. The hope is, however, another institution called the local church. And the hope is that when a man of God gets up and a man of God preaches, that every daddy will be responsible enough to be right with his head, and every wife will be responsible enough to be right with her head, and every child would be responsible enough to be right to his heads. All right? And so, but wait a minute. But if he becomes bitter and he's not hearing from God, how in the world can he lead her? And if she becomes bitter and is not responsive to God through her husband and to God personally as she walks with God, then how in the world can she help to guide the home? Can't do it. So that we have to understand that's where forgive. Okay, watch a minute. If turn around, both of you, face each other and argue. Just argue a little bit. That works. See, she learned immediately. I told you not to do that. And she said, okay, you know, all right. But wait a minute. Okay. But if they're arguing back and forth, now stay with me now. They're not forgiving each other. They're arguing back and forth. Then you tell me, if they're arguing back and forth, can he hear what God has for him? No. If they're arguing back and forth, can he get what God has for him in the home? No. And so the more discord there is in the home, are you listening to me? The less answered prayer there's going to be, and the less obedience there's going to be, and the less blessing there's going to be. And so the home has to stay right. We have got to stay. Same thing in the church. Got two deacons fighting in the hallway. Now we don't. They're in here tonight, so in the hallway. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But now, wait a minute. Watch this. But we have discord. Now we don't. I'm not trying to say we do. But pretend. There's the word pretend. We have discord among the brethren. If there is discord among the brethren, there's not fellowship. And if there's not fellowship among the brethren, there's disharmony. Wait a minute, but my Bible says I'm supposed to love the brethren. I was preaching in Yonkers, New York. I preached a message, and one lady said to another lady in my presence, Mrs. Wells was there, in my presence, she said to another lady, she said, oh, that was a good message. Now, she said, she didn't say it to me. She said it to another lady in my presence. She said, oh, that's a good message. That lady said, I don't like it. I didn't like the message. So they progressed to go outside together, walking, talking. Lady said, well, I think you're wrong. I think it was a great message. And I think that you need to repent and get right with God. You got a wicked heart. And the other lady said, it's none of your business about my heart. My heart is my heart. You ought not try and take it from me. They started arguing. Pastor and I walked outside. In the parking lot, I kid you not, there's two ladies attending an independent Baptist church. They're on the ground, rolling, pulling each other's hair, and slapping each other all over the parking lot. Now, I'm telling you, godly preaching causes energy. But as they were doing that, I promise you, they were not right with each other. And they're not right with God. So, preacher, what do you do? If somebody comes up to you and they say, I'll tell you what, I want to give you my opinion of how you are. And I'll tell you, I don't like you. And I think that you did this wrong. And you take it. You don't turn their other cheek. You turn your other cheek. And you say, thank you very much. That helped me. And walk away. I know it takes more Christianity to do that than the other. I know that. But now you listen to me tonight. There has to be that type of relationship. Your parents say, do this. And you say, you cannot tell me you're right with your parents. And if you're not right with your parents, you are not right with God. Your husband says, I have a request. I'd like for you to cook this certain meal tonight. And you look at him and you say, you don't know how much trouble it's going to be cooked that certain meal tonight. I've labored all day. I mean, it's just terrible. Kids have made me pull my hair out, and I've got to go get a wig, and it's just terrible. You don't understand. I've had a hard day, and this is just terrible. You don't understand what you're asking me. All right, now wait a minute. Whole time you're doing that, that's not called sweet fellowship. Come on. All of a sudden, the husband has a raunchy disposition. By the way, it pay you to get right with God before you go home. Might help the home. You had a bad day. Don't come home and take it out on your wife. Now, wait a minute. All of a sudden, the husband has a bad day, and he comes stomping into the presence of his wife, into the presence of his children. He's had a bad day at the office, and he comes stomping in, and he says, I just want you to know, nothing's gone right. And I want, nothing's going to go right tonight either. What do you do with that? You go lock yourself in the closet if you're wise. But no husband ought to be that way to a wife. No father ought to be that way to his children. You daddy's despicable that you raise your voice at your kids and think that that endorses your manhood. Hello. You're crazy. Raise your wife at your kids and think that endorses your manhood. You're strong. That's what you are. But now, wait a minute. When a relationship, watch me, When the relationship is not right between the husband and wife, they suffer, but this little guy is suffering too. Because he's looking at mom and daddy and saying, oh, that's what marriage is all about. Huh, that's the way we're supposed to get along. Now, he'll either do one or two things. He'll copy it or he'll run from it. Don't get mad at me. Don't you get mad at me. But you know why we're producing a bunch of queers in America? Because we do not have the right image inside of the home. Somebody messed up. Somebody messed up. Now, wait a minute. God wants us to be able to understand exactly the way that family ought to be. Thank you. Be seated. Let me just read two more verses and I'm done. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. Bible says, listen to it. He says, I am merciful, saith the Lord. I will not keep anger forever. All right. So wait a minute now. God looks at sin and he says, we ought to forgive as we are forgiven. But he says, and I'm merciful. Merciful is God withholding judgment that we rightfully deserve. Grace is God giving us blessing that we don't rightfully deserve. I get to go to heaven, that's called grace. I don't have to go to hell, that's called mercy. Now, God says, I am withholding, it says, judgment by my mercy. He said, but I can't keep my anger forever. All right, Luke chapter 7 and verse 47, the Bible says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. So now, by the way, it doesn't matter how close you get to the edge of God saying, okay, I'm going to have to punish this. You can get right up to the edge and you can go to God and God forgives it just like that. And when he forgives it, he forgets it. You can be under the judgment of God and go to God and God forgives it just like that. Okay, well, process and I'm done. Our children would do, we used to have a list on the refrigerator, and it was a punishment reward type of list, and it would state the crime, and it would state the punishment, okay? And then we would reward our kid. We'd take them out for ice cream Sunday night, or we'd do stuff special for them when they were good through the week and stuff. But on that, my boys, my two older boys in particular, would go up to the refrigerator, and they would notice the crime, you know, and they would see the crime would be, oh, let's just say that the crime for telling a lie was five spankings. And they look at that and watch. By the way, this is the law right here. I can read the law and I can see what God says about things. And then I can see what the penalty is for doing those wrong things. And I can also see the rewards for doing the right things. That's called a just God. Okay? And so we had this up there. And our older boys would go and they would look. And they'd say, I'm telling a lie. Ooh, that is five spankings. Ooh. And they look at it. And they'd stare at it for a while. And then they would, they'd scratch their head. And then they would say, it's not worth it. Not worth it. And then they walk away. And all right, because they decided that the punishment was greater than the crime. Okay? All right. Now wait a minute. What am I saying? I'm saying this. Every time that they did something that was a crime and they had to have some type of punishment. I when they were younger, I'd send them to the room, the bedroom, and we had Woody, Mr. Woody. You remember Mr. Woody? You remember Mr. Woody, Jonathan? Okay, a personal friend. And had Mr. Woody. Mr. Woody is 23 years old now, right? 23 years old. When Mrs. Wells became with child, Mr. Woody came into the world before Jonathan did. And Mr. Woody. Mr. Woody has been kidnapped. Mr. Woody has been held for ransom. I mean, terrible. But here's what would happen. And when they commit a crime, we'd send them to the room. When they're little, we go immediately to them. Immediately. Why? Because their attention span, their memory, very short. So we go immediately to them and take care of it. All right. When they were older, they reached about the age of nine or so, and their memory span expands a little bit. And so what we'd do, we'd send them to the room, and we'd say, I'd say, now, I'll be in there in just a little bit. You wait. Now, you wait. I'll be in there in just a little bit. And so they go to the room, and I say, you think about what you did wrong. I'll be in there in a little bit. I drink a cup of coffee. I was really tore up about the thing. And I'd eat a donut. And then a little while later, I'd stick my head in the door and say, are you thinking about what you did wrong? Well, yes, sir, I am. And, I'm really thinking. Okay, you keep thinking about it. I'll be back. And I'd shut the door and go back, and we'd have fellowship again. And then you say, you're mean. No. I wanted them to be able to remember the depth of their wrong. And then I'd go in, and they'd bend over. We'd take Mr. Woody, and we apply the Board of Education to the seat of understanding, whereby all wisdom is gained. And so we would spank them, and then I forgave them, and we would hug. And when they were younger, we'd kiss, and we would embrace, and I'd say, I forgive you, and don't you ever do it again. Don't you ever do it again. And I believe that you can live right, and I believe that you can walk right and be right, and I've got total confidence that God can use you and is going to use you in a great way. And then what would happen is it was totally forgotten. I never brought it up to him again. I never said, now, boy, you remember, you know, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, oh, and you're back again and you blew it again. Get back in there. No, they've already paid for that. All right. So we don't bring it up and remind them again and again and again and again. And by the way, when forgiven, there was embracing. When forgiving, there was that hug. That came towards the end. That's the way God does. You know, when God forgives you, he wants to hug on you. He wants you to be close to him. There's that warmth that you have. And that's exactly what we experience in forgiveness. I'll tell the story and then I'll quit. I told Jonathan, I don't know how old he was, but he was old enough to stay in the room for a while. And I said, you prepare for me. I'm coming. And you prepare. And I know you think about what you did wrong, but you prepare. I'm going to be in here a little while. And Jonathan took it upon himself to prepare. I walked in, and he was swollen back here. And he was swollen back here. And I thought, what in the world? I thought he had a disease that all of a sudden took place. And what he did is he took two huge rolls of toilet tissue, put one back here and one back here. You know what he did? He prepared. He actually prepared for my coming. And I looked at him and said, son, what in the world did you do? He said, well, Daddy, you told me to prepare. All right. Now, may I say, God's forgiveness is good. And since we are forgiven, honestly, folks, honestly, so ought we to forgive others.